Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Aloha. Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. My name is Christine Heath, and I am coming to you from beautiful and peaceful Hawaii. And I am so fortunate to have as my podcast sister and really such a beautiful spiritual being. I just can't say enough about the feeling that my friend has, and I so enjoy doing these because together we get into such a beautiful feeling, and so I'd like to introduce her.
Judy Sedgman, and I'm coming to you from chilly Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but it's winter's coming, and we have four seasons, and that's makes life interesting here. So, and it's I just love Christine, and you know, we're just so lucky that we have these opportunities to work together. So I feel very blessed.
This is the way we prime the pump before we do this, because we, when we do these podcasts, we get a topic and that's it. Yeah. And then we start talking. We don't, like, I know some people like write out a script and they are thinking about it and doing all that. We don't do that. We just kind of wing it and see what comes out of us. Because it's always interesting. Like, I always learn so much from Judy and from what comes out of me even. You know, that's the beauty of wisdom, is that it's not about what we think we know.
Yeah, that's so true.
So today we thought we'd talk about shame, because shame is a big thing in addictions work, in mental health work. It's shame-based. Blah, 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 shame-based treatment, shame-based whatever. But, and so I thought I'd talk a little bit about it, because I think people actually do get impacted by their own thinking in a way that creates some pretty yucky experiences on the inside. Mm-hmm. And shame, to me, is a kind of a thought that there is something wrong with you. So it doesn't matter what you do, it's never good enough. It doesn't matter what people say, it's like it feels like it's the truth coming at you from life. So it always feels like when you feel ashamed, like you get punched in the gut. All of a sudden, you just, like, you know, want to throw up, because you suddenly feel like what you thought was true about you is true. Yeah. And this is the proof of it, right? Mm-hmm. So people feel a lot of shame after they've been mistreated by another person, especially children. When an adult does something to them, they feel like somehow it was their fault, mm-hmm. and that there's something wrong that happened. There's after sexual trauma, that's frequently a response, I think, partly because we have so many thoughts about sex anyway. You know, it's like there's a lot of judgments and expectations and thinking about sex. Mm-hmm. And so when children are in a position of powerlessness and someone does something really yucky to them, the feeling that the perpetrator is in, that child feels that, or the adult feels that, the rape victim or assault victim, like you can feel that from the other person, and that memory is then what we personalize. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the person is like psychologically vomiting all over, and then you get attached to the vomit. So coming out of that and seeing that that is now just thought is such a beautiful experience, because people start to realize that no matter what's happened to them, no matter what they've gone through, You know, and it's not always about trauma and sexual abuse or physical abuse. Sometimes it's about being poor. Sometimes it's about somehow being in, it's something, it's always something about somehow I'm inadequate because of
whatever,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so, you know, when people come in and they have all kinds of bad feelings, they're afraid to do this or afraid to do that, because they feel bad about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, is like the most enlightening thing you can learn, that that's just your thought that you're carrying through time. It just appears to belong to the person that hurt you, or the person that didn't show love to you, or the person that was, you know, struggling in their own lot in life to deal with the insecurity they were living in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a thought about that based on what happens, because we see life backwards. We see life outside in. And if this person is doing this to me, then there must be something wrong with me. Interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like when you get turned around, it's like, oh, that's really fascinating that human beings do that, because we don't see the illusion that thought creates. So it's very easy to get thinking there's something wrong with me because you treated me that way. But if you're struggling with that, what I want you to know is that there's nothing that anybody can do to you or that you could do to somebody else, because a lot of times people feel shame about being that perpetrator, being the person that, you know, did drugs, being a person that screwed up their life. All of that is just thought, your thought, no one else's thought. And if you understand what we call psychological innocence, you will see that that was literally the best you could see to do at the time. And it's the best the other person could see to do, no matter how awful it was. That's just telling you about the level of consciousness they're living in, that that looked like up. That looked like a good idea. I mean, good God. You know, the things that we do to each other. So in letting the past go, it doesn't mean that you let the person off the hook or that you somehow think it was okay what happened. It's just an acceptance, as that crappy, awful thing happened to me, and I don't have to let it haunt me. I don't have to let it consume me. If I understand how thought works, if I understand that in my core, I am love. So I can't not have love. It's always inside of me because it's what we are. It's the energy that creates all things. Our experiences, although terrifying and embarrassing and insulting and whatever other words you want to use, it's just a memory now. And that memory is what gets put into the bin of, oh, there's something wrong with me, as proof. So then you use those memories, because of the way memory works, to tell you about the danger of life. And over time, you just keep reinforcing that that's true, that that's real, that there is something wrong with me. But there's not anything wrong with anybody. Like, there's nothing you can do, nothing anybody can do for you and to you, and nothing having to do with the circumstances of your life that can damage you on a spiritual level.
Right. But, you know, when you get messages from the outside in, as especially as a child, I think, you take it on and then it looks important. And I remember I was lucky because, you know, I grew up in a very nice home. I had nice parents and it was pleasant. And they loved each other and they loved me and we had a nice life together. But not everybody's that fortunate. But so I was sort of insulated from some of the things that I've seen and now learned that other children have gone through. And I remember it was either fourth or fifth grade. I can't remember which of the two. the teacher that we had at that time, her favorite expression is, you should be ashamed of yourself. And so whenever somebody did something wrong, you know, like misbehaved on the playground or didn't do their homework or, you know, whatever kids do in school, he would say, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should totally be ashamed of yourself. And I don't think that at that age we really understood what that meant, but it wasn't pleasant, you know. And so I remember one time my dad and I were taking a walk together, and my dad and I had been told that on the Friday we were walking, it was Saturday morning. And on Friday afternoon at school, the teacher had said that to me because of something that I said in class or whatever. And she said, you should really be ashamed of yourself. I can't believe you said that. It's just terrible. And I felt awful, you know, and I kind of brooded about it that night when I went to bed. And so in the morning when I was walking with my dad says, you're awfully quiet. And I said, yeah, I know. I just kind of had a bad experience at school yesterday. And he said, well, what happened? So I told him. And I said, and then the teacher said, I should be ashamed of myself. And I am. But how do I fix it? And my dad looked at me and said, well, how would being ashamed of yourself fix it? He said, explain that one to me. He said, just make you feel so bad. All you can think is that you're bad and it's a bad situation and you have no answer to it. I don't think shame is working for you, Judy. Which was so sweet, you know, because he was my dad and I looked up to him and I said, well, what am I supposed to feel? And he said, well, it'd be okay to be sorry that you did something and just apologize for it and forget about it. And, you know, now that was a small thing and it wasn't the same as a trauma or somebody assaulting you or something, but it's an example of understanding that shame does not help you. You know, because as long as I felt terrible about myself and upset that that happened and that she thought that about me and that now I was going to be scarred in that class and I, you know, I mean, it just made it into a big production in my mind. That's when you start kind of accidentally in a low mood doing more things than you feel bad about. You know, people can get in a cycle of negative behaviors because of their negative thinking that started with an innocent negative thought about themselves. And the truth is, shame is a negative feeling. And negative feelings do not help us to feel better. Because when you have a negative feeling, a negative thought, you have a negative feeling, and that's it. So I remember thinking to myself, even as a little child, if I ever have a child, I'm never going to tell that child they should be ashamed of themselves. And I never did. You know, I kept that promise to myself. It's just a funny thing because it had such an impact on me. And that surprised me. Looking back on it, you know, this teacher was kind of a grumpy person anyway, and I'm sure she said a lot of other things that were negative, unpleasant, but that was the one thing that stuck in my mind for the rest of my life. So I don't think we realize sometimes the power of words that we take to heart and then make into a label, just like a diagnosis, and then take on keep us back from, you know, just relaxing and finding a peaceful way, a good way out of situations. So I remember that Monday I went to school, my dad said, you know, just tell the teacher you're sorry. And so I went to talk to the teacher about that morning after, you know, during a break. And I said, you know, I know you were bad at me on Friday and you told me I should be ashamed of myself. And I thought about it, and I'm really sorry for what I did. It seemed okay to me at the time, and I'm very sorry. And she said, "Well, you should be." So now I had to be sorry, you know. But what I realized is that she wasn't ever going to find a positive. You know, just even as a child, I realized this woman is grumpy.
There is that self-righteousness when you say, shame on you. How could you do that? Right. You know, like I'll do that with my dogs because they don't understand me anyway. But, you know, I'll go like they got into this bag of treats. And when I was just outside picking up their weekly poop, I know too much information, everybody, sorry. But I found this bag of this really good freezer bag that I use and reuse all the time in pieces. And so my dogs are looking and go, I pick it up and I look at them and go, shame on you. And they're looking at me like, what is that? You know, cause they did it 2 days ago or whatever, you know, like who knows? They don't even care, but it's so ingrained in us. And I don't know that people actually do that as much anymore, but there is that piece when you get upset with somebody, you want them to feel bad. Like, right. Duh, what good does that do?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
It is funny. But, you know, I realize that bad feelings are just as contagious as good feelings.
Oh, they are. They are. And, you know, like when I was a little girl, my mother introduced me as her mistake. Because, I'll tell you why, because she was so insecure that she had me when she was 40. And so now I'm like, I must have been like 3 because my head came up to her thigh. And she's about 5'1". So I must have been maybe 4 years old. And at that time, they came out with the studies on Down syndrome, and they discovered that women having babies later in life had a higher incidence of having children that had Down syndrome. So she thought she was stupid because she allowed herself to get pregnant and have a child later in life. Okay, so I'm not thinking about that, though. I'm thinking, oh, I'm a mistake. Oh, that means... And then I went into, I'm not loved, I'm not wanted, I'm not good enough. And that one thought that I created, right? I created that thought. That became like a virus in my thinking, and it affected everything I did. I didn't think people liked me. I didn't think I was smart. I didn't think that I was loved. I was never good enough. I would feel ashamed all the time because I thought that there was something basically wrong with me because I hadn't done anything. I was just, you know, standing there that I had done that. And so when I learned the principles, that's what I saw, is I saw like, oh, that wasn't about me. That thought I've been carrying through time, and it has distorted everything in my life, everything from my ability to do public speaking, to my inability to get a relationship, everything, you know, and it's just was my thought. Mm-hmm. Now, was that a kind, loving thing for her to say? No, but it wasn't her saying that affected me. It was how I heard it and what I did with it in my head. And that's what we have the ability to change. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't go back in time and have her say this, but I'll tell you a funny story, is that when she was in her 90s and she had Alzheimer's and she was in a wheelchair, and we had a birthday party for her. I think it was like her 90th birthday, maybe 95th. I don't know. It was a birthday anyway. And she was sitting in her wheelchair and she was looking at me and laughing. And I went up to her and I said, Mama, what are you laughing about? And she said, oh, I remember being pregnant with you and I loved you so much. And I was like, wow. You see, it's like what I thought had nothing to do with the truth. It had to do with my thought about it and what I heard.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the thing. It's like you want to give your goodness away to somebody else's bad mood, negative thought, you know, insecurity. It's just what people do things. And in psychology, we kind of make a big deal about what's happened and what they did. Like I remember in my therapy, I mean, of course I told my therapist this and she goes, oh, that was really mean. She was really mean to have said that. She shouldn't have said that. Well, then my relationship with my mother got progressively worse, of course, because I couldn't change that. And then I'd see it everywhere in the way that she would talk to me and the way that we would act, right? It became like bigger than life. So I know that there are things have happened to me that are way worse than that. Mm-hmm. It had less effect on me.
Yeah.
You know, it had less effect on me. Mm-hmm. But there was something about my thinking that at that age, that just the rest of the way I thought about myself, my ego got really distorted. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was true. I didn't know how thought worked. I didn't know that it was just a thought.
And I think that the thing that we have to realize, or that we come to realize, is that our thinking about ourselves is just as illusionary as our thinking about the world. And, you know, we always think we know ourselves, so we figure, you know, we're probably right about ourselves, but you know, we're not, because we can change that too. And we can also be very mistaken, because especially as children, we hear things adults say through the ears of children, and we don't have a clue that that's what they really meant. We just make it up, like Chris was talking about. And all of us have had experiences like that. All of us have had encounters in life where somebody said something, either about something we did or something we said or some way we are, that's embarrassing or upsetting or possibly shameful or whatever. And, you know, one of the most touching things that I did for a number of years is we had a contract with an agency I was with to work with women prostitutes who are being rescued from the street. And for a lot of them, most of them had either run away and then gotten picked up by pimps on the street, or in some cases their parents sold them. There's one girl that came from a very nice family who was one of my clients, and she was rebellious, and she went through that phase as a teenager, and she ran away, and then she ended up getting essentially seduced by this person that turned out to be a pimp, and she couldn't get away. And when her parents found out where she was, they were searching for her, and they finally found her, and they found out what she was doing. They didn't want anything to do with her. And she saw her father. Her father was driving around the area where she worked. And she saw her father, and she tried to wave the car down and everything. And he looked at her and said, no, 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 and drove off. And then she called her mother, and her mother said, you know, you've made a very poor choice. And what you've done with your life is your business now. You're not part of our family anymore. And I don't want you here with your sister, because you'll, you know, affect her. And this girl was heartbroken, because she was hoping her father was going to just say, get in the car, we're going to take you home. And she was, she was totally heartbroken when I started working with her. And she said, and my mother told me that I'd become a slut. And she said, I hate this job. I never wanted to do this. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And she said, I was only 14 years old, and I didn't even know about this world. And I said, you know, you have to see that your parents are innocent, and so are you. And the way to get to that point is to realize that in your upbringing, they didn't associate with pimps and people that worked the streets and people in this lifestyle. They didn't, to them, it was all from the movies or from, you know, criminal stories in the newspaper. And you didn't either, which is how you got sucked into it, because you never thought about it. You never had the thought, oh, this is dangerous, or I shouldn't go with this guy. And then you got caught up in it. And now you want out, and we're helping you to get out. You have to get out in your own head. And just get out. And she said, but Judy said, I am a slut. That's my job. And I said, no, it's not your job. It's your imprisonment. I said, would you have applied for that job? She said, of course not. I was going to apply for a job at McDonald's. You know, it's so innocent. And I said, you know, would you recommend other people to go into that work? And she said, oh, no. I said, well, then it's not your job. You got essentially kidnapped into a world that you had no understanding of. And then by the time you got sucked into it, you couldn't get out. You had no means, no way to get out of it. Until, you know, this group that I was working with encouraged her the streets and go to a safe house. And she said, I don't see how I'm ever going to get out from under that label, though. She said, because it's too complicated to try to explain it to anybody. And, you know, and I've slept with all these men, and I don't even know what it would be like to have a real person in my life that nobody cares about me. I've never been cared for. So I said, well, we got to start home. You got to start by caring for yourself. And you have to see that you're just a beautiful human soul that got sidetracked through thought into a world that you had no knowledge of and now have no control over. But you don't have to go back to it. You go from it to what you want to be. And I think the most beautiful thing that happened is that she did go through this program, that we had a year-long program where they could take courses and come, you know, find a job, and they were safe, and we had a lawyer that encouraged some of them to even help put the pimps in prison, and so on and so forth. And so at the end of the program, I mean, she was a beautiful girl, and she was very, very sweet. She called her mother, and she told her mother about the program, and she said, you know, I really want to come home. I want to see you and Daddy. And I want you to just be able to say that I'm not a slut. I am not that person. I got sucked into something. And her mother, I think mothers are, you know, her father might have been rigid, but her mother was her mother. And her mother said, well, come home, honey. That's okay. You can come home and we'll see how it works out. And she did. They sent her a plane ticket and she went home. I think it was for a holiday, like Thanksgiving or something. And they just, you know, just found love for each other because she really didn't. She had changed. She had put it behind her in her own mind. And she ended up moving back to her hometown, living with her parents for a while, getting a job, going to college. And I don't know what happened after she graduated from college. But, I mean, the thing is, nobody is anything shameful, is anything shameful. People do things that the world sees as shameful, sometimes out of innocence and ignorance, sometimes out of desperation, sometimes out of insecurity. But once that's happened and you wake up to it and you find yourself, you find that it's all thought, that it looked okay to me at the time, but it isn't. You find your way out of it. And there is nothing to be ashamed of. All we can do from things that we are regret doing is learn from them.
You know, that's beautiful. It's really, as you're talking, what I was thinking of is that it really, the level of consciousness of the world has been such that people have been shunned for being different, mm-hmm. right? So there's like cultural shame, right? Where one group of people treat another group of people like they're less than. And because everybody's living in a world of outside in, it appears that there's something wrong with them. And mm-hmm. the other people get insecure because they think they're better. Mm-hmm. And either way, it's a bad feeling. Right. But it's that illusion that thought creates, that not seeing ourselves in each other, but seeing the differences that we have and then deciding that that's bad, because it's different from me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, like it happens with women too. Like women, I mean, most of us grew up, you and me anyway, at our age, grew up at a time when if you like wore the wrong clothing, you were told that you were bad.
Yes.
You know, like if you were too friendly with boys, you were bad. If you were, not a mom, you were bad. If you were, you know, wearing skimpy clothing, you were bad. I mean, all that's changed a lot now. You can see that as women kind of woke up to, hey, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with us. But before that happened, there was a lot. I mean, there still is a lot, believe me. You know, like people don't get hired for jobs because they might get pregnant or because they are female or whatever. There's all kinds of things yet that you and I know about. And you grow up kind of drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, I can't do that. I'm a woman. And it never occurs to you to try something because you're a woman. Well, that kind of thinking is the same thinking that happens with people that are part of the LGBTQ plus community. They're part of the non-white community, indigenous people, is that when you're outside in and people keep telling you with certainty that there's something wrong with you, it's like this bad feeling that happens. Mm-hmm. And then we get thinking, well, is that true, without even realizing, because it gets in our thinking without us even realizing it. Mm-hmm. So the trick is really to see that everybody is okay, no matter what's happened, no matter who you are, no matter what it is. And you have to claim that. Because if you claim that, you'll stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And if you claim it, you'll stop treating other people as if they are not okay.
Yeah. As soon as you see it in yourself, you see it in everyone.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that brings us great peace in life and living in a diverse world.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we wish you a great week.
We hope you get free of whatever shame you might be carrying around and realize that, oh, I don't have to be this way. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah.
Bye.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.